Welcome in to another edition of the Pick Aside Podcast, a college picks edition. What are we on? Week 11? Week 12?
Week 12.
Jesus Christ, the season's almost
dozen.
Over. Thank God. We are available on YouTube, as always, youtube.com/@pickasideESPN. Click the subscribe button, leave a comment, like a video. It helps us out. We appreciate it. Also available wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate, review, subscribe. Shane Orling with you, Tyler Rocky with me, as always. And we have some housekeeping to do, a little sports talk, if you will, before we get into the picks. A ruling came down in college football yesterday that I did not expect, that I knew nothing about. Michigan State, my school, got clipped by the NCAA for impermissible benefits, some half-ass recruiting hire that Mel Tucker made.
Yep.
Got a recruit, and there were impermissible benefits, which I just find absolutely hysterical. We're in a world where Michigan can pay $10 million to get a quarterback. We're in a world where Georgia can pay high school kids $50,000 a month to keep their commitments to Georgia, but we get impermissible benefits coming down. Like, I'm going to hit you with the initial reaction that I had, and then I'll give you the second reaction that I had.
Okay.
The first reaction was, I hate college football. I think it's a total joke. Because the NCAA is telling you, if you play by our rules and respect the power that we wield, we're going to clip you. But if you do what Michigan did and say, go fuck yourself, we don't care what you have to say to us, you're going to get off scot-free. It's an absolute clown show that Michigan State caught a more severe punishment than either Michigan or Central Michigan for crimes that the NCAA admits are less severe than the crimes committed by Michigan and Central Michigan. I thought it was a total joke. And then I thought for like 15 seconds longer, because ultimately I'm like, you're in the Big Ten. You're a part of the Big Ten TV deal. You can threaten the NCAA the same way Michigan does. You can threaten them the same way anyone does and make them back down, because that's apparently the process now. So why would you just take this? Oh, we don't have to pay Mel Tucker a fucking dime. They hit him with a cause firing for jerking himself off on a phone call with a sexual assault vendor, fired him, and now he's suing the university, an active lawsuit. So when you just say, you know what? Hit us with some impermissible penalties here, and we're good to go. They will never, Mel Tucker will never see a dime.
So you think this call came from inside?
Yes, I think they made the investigation. They hit him with this is what the penalties will be. And Jay Batt said, we're not even going to appeal. We'll just take this, because you know what? Now I don't have to pay this fucking guy anything. Just go away forever.
Yeah, you're paying what, like a $30,000 fine or something like that?
And this is the new world of college football. Like, Michigan decided we're going to pay $30 million to win a national championship. That was their calculus. Mm-hmm. Michigan State decided we're going to vacate 14 meaningless wins. Yeah. Like, I care. Where can I drop them off? Please take them. Our winning percentage went up. That's not a joke. It's a fact. Our winning percentage went up by vacating the games.
They vacated all five of Jonathan Smith's wins from last year. He may finish as a zero conference win coach.
I love it. Because it's like, oh, we can give you the 14 wins. Take them, please. Tear down the banners. We didn't put any up. Like, just take them, and we can now fire our coach and not worry about the buyout money, because we're never going to have to pay Mel Tucker.
Yeah.
It's also, the reason I bring it up, LSU, I think, is going to find a way to do this. I think this is the new calculus. Yeah,
bet there's a bunch of schools that try to do it this year.
This is the new calculus. You have to fire a head coach and worry about buyout money, and you're trying to avoid it. And Brian Kelly's suing LSU. Mm-hmm. All LSU's got to do is go, here's some stuff Brian Kelly did wrong. Investigate us. We won't appeal. Hit us with a hammer, and we never have to pay him, ever.
It is, though, like, kind of walking that fine line of, all right, get us in trouble, but not too much trouble.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, like, that's, but hey, if you want to win a national title, cheat your ass off and pay the $30 million fine, and they'll never take the title away from you. I learned that. So now, if you don't want to pay your head coach, just get yourself in enough hot water that nobody can ever doubt this guy was fired for cause.
Yeah. It's a good little, like, big brain exercise by you right there.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I'm like, maybe I got an AD worth of shit. Because at first I'm like, wow, we're just the punching bag of the NCAA. And then I'm like, nah, wait a minute.
You say this, but then they keep, they'll keep Jonathan Smith another year and all goodwill out the window.
Yeah, there is no goodwill. The program's a total joke. Yeah. That's where, like, if they just said, you don't have a football program anymore, do you think I'd be sad?
I think you would.
Maybe, ultimately. No, yeah, like, in the long run, maybe, but right now, I'd be like, that's fine. Hit us with the SMU death penalty.
I don't care. That would be a win the battle, lose the war type of deal for you.
Okay, now as we get into the
weekend. Before we get into college, too, happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Happy birthday.
You're the first coworker to say that to
me.
Am I
really?
No. I just wanted to make you smile a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it is my birthday today, time of taping.
Pick because this was always a thing with us where it's like, whenever it's someone's birthday, you always tail their picks for the day because it goes one of two ways. They either lose nothing or they lose all of it. So what do you got for us today? Anything shooting from the hip? Anything you like? You got a Thursday night pick?
No.
You got a college basketball pick? Is there any Thursday night college football action you like tonight?
It would once again, Thursday night, if you made me bet it, it would once again be Jets or pass.
Same.
But I'm done doing that. I mean, like, I'm not. It's short week. The Patriots are 12.5-point favorites. The numbers have gotten ludicrous on them. Like, now they're at a point where they're earning it after beating Tampa.
Yeah.
But I'm not laying 12.5 in the divisional game. And we've seen this movie. I mean, the Bills got pounded by the Dolphins a week ago.
Raiders... It hung with the Broncos on Thursday last week.
Short week, bad O-line, rookie quarterback. You're never getting me to second-year quarterback. You're never getting me to lay 12.5.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take the Jets side either because I do think likeliest outcome is they get popped.
Yeah.
I'll go to the hardwood.
All right.
How about a little Bama laying 3.5 against Purdue tonight?
Oh, okay. Where is that game in is that neutral site or is that a home game for someone?
Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
3.5-point home faves over the Purdue Boilermakers.
I love that. All right. Sign me up.
This also leans directly into the issue that I'm having this weekend in college football, and it goes back to last weekend and really the last couple weeks, but it's a process that has been working, and I think I'm going to stick to it as I just make sure I put this in before I forget to, because as soon as I looked at the college basketball slate, I'm like, wait a minute. I love that play.
Yeah.
So Bama laying 3.5 at home against Purdue. We'll put that in. I'm a favorite fucker.
Are you now?
In college football, I have become a favorites fucker. I want nothing more than to bet favorites, apparently. I have 8 bets. I believe 6 of them are sides. Might be 5 of them are sides.
Okay.
Of those sides, only 1 is a dog.
Interesting. Okay. I think that, are we at a point now with college football where it almost turns into baseball? Like, for people who run models and stuff like that in baseball, a lot of them will tell you that by the time you get to, like, mid-late August and September, your dog values kind of fly out the window because, so, like, your post-trade deadline,
yep.
Like, a lot of teams are giving up at that point. You're calling up some minor leaguers. Like, a lot of the value kind of goes out the window on the underdogs, even though their models may say to take the underdogs, but a lot of these models tend to struggle in September and August because of the fact that you're mentally, a lot of these teams aren't there.
Start to pack it in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a part of it. I think another part of it is the talent disparity in this sport specifically. Like, I think college is unique, and we talked about it last week. Texas Tech, BYU is a great example, where you have 2 top 10 teams and the point spread is 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you just look at it and go, they're telling you BYU is not going to be involved in this. And BYU wasn't. BYU couldn't move the football.
Yeah.
It was, like, very clear that the matchup as advertised to the common fan, 7 versus 8, you would think this is going to be a hotly contested conference game, but the point spread told you a different story. It's unique to this sport where the best teams are so much better than mediocre to bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like the NFL, we talk about all the time. The best team in the NFL is marginally better than the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
In college, the best team in the SEC is a country fucking mile better than the worst team in the SEC.
Yeah.
Like that, it's just a totally different talent disparity where I think you look at this, some of the favorites in some spots this weekend, and you just go, yeah, I'm laying a lot of points, but it feels so much like the right side to be on.
I'm looking like the favorites that I'm laying, it's nothing too long. So, all right, let's get into it.
All right, we got to start with one. We'll start right at 11 a.m., and it is a brand matchup. It should be an ACC game, but it isn't because Notre Dame refuses to join a conference despite playing an ACC schedule. We've got Notre Dame traveling to Pitt.
Yeah.
If you've been paying any attention, Pitt has become a bit of a wagon in the ACC.
Yeah.
They made a quarterback change. Their offense has been firing on all cylinders. They've got a chance to win the conference. There's a couple things at play here. One, you've got a top 25 matchup with an enormous point spread. Notre Dame's laying 12.5.
On the road, too.
That's insane. Like, step one is, how the fuck are we getting to that many points? Step two is, this game doesn't actually mean anything at all for Pitt.
Yeah.
It's not a conference game.
Did you hear Pat Narduzzi this week?
No.
Someone asked him about like the importance of this Pitt game, and he's like, he basically said, I don't really care. It's not an ACC game. We know our path to the playoff lies in the ACC. So while a win would be nice, this game really doesn't mean anything.
Which leads me to, I'm playing Notre Dame and I'm laying 12.5 points. Right. This is like, you can tell me if I should stay away, because I know Pitt's been good lately. And I know Pitt's got a shot to win the ACC. But like Narduzzi said, you just optioned up. Like, this doesn't matter. Their path to the playoff is winning the ACC. This affects their conference record absolutely nothing. They can lose this game and lose zero standing in the conference standings, which immediately I'm like, if this gets out of hand, you just pack it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the second part is the same thing we said about Texas Tech and BYU. You have a top 25 matchup. Think Colorado-Oregon a couple years ago, where there's a double-digit favorite. The book is telling you, ND is miles better than Pitt.
Yeah.
And Pitt's really not going to be all that competitive in this spot. And I think you float out, like, if the casual person is looking at this and going, man, Pitt's been really good. They switched quarterbacks. Their offense is firing. Let's take the 12.5. That's way too many points. And Notre Dame's got a leaky defense. None of that's wrong. I'd prefer to be on the more contrarian side of this. And Pitt, big dog, public, I'm all over the Irish.
Can I float you another side of this? I want to just run this by you because I just logged it. I'm adding a play on the fly here.
Over?
Over 55.5 in this game.
The way I would lean.
Because Pitt, I mean, this run that they're on right now is completely offensive predicated. And Notre Dame's defense is fine. It's not good. It's not great. It's fine. And my one concern is, like, does Pitt open up the playbook at all in this game? Or do they kind of power down and just, all right, we're going to live to see another week in the ACC because, like Narduzzi said, this game doesn't matter. And I know there's a lot of Pitt fans that are upset about what he said. Personally, I don't care.
No, I don't
either. Now, I'm not a Pitt fan either, but even if it was my coach saying that, I wouldn't care because he's right. He's 1,000% right. Pitt's not getting an at-large bid into this college football playoff. So,
and I get like a fan would want to beat Notre Dame, but it doesn't. It's meaningless. The game itself is totally meaningless.
And that's not to say like Pat Narduzzi still wants to win the football game.
Of course he
game,
does.
But he just understands that for the bigger picture of getting into the playoff, this game means nothing. You're not getting an at-large spot. I would also say this too. I think Notre Dame's just going to be able to move the ball on Pitt in a way that we haven't seen Pitt really challenged offensively this year. C.J. Carr has played really good football.
Yep.
Jeremiah Love, we know what he's been on the ground. Jadarian Price is a good change of pace back, too. So I'm going to go over 55.5.
My question would be on the like, when do you, if you're worried about the over in Pitt kind of shrinking things and just powering down, at what point do they do that? Because is it 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, and then Narduzzi's like, we're just going to wrap things up here and get out of this healthy? Or is it
like
28-14 at halftime, and then Pitt's like, we're going to power it down? Notre Dame might still try to put points on him. Notre Dame can only get an at-large bid.
Yes. Notre Dame is also like they're looking for style points, obviously. And on top of that, too, like, they could get to 50 on their own.
I kind of agree. You know what? I'm going to hedge it. Like, they work together, so it's not really a hedge, but I'll add Notre Dame on the over, or rather the game on the over, 55.5. they go high, we go higher. It all adds up. This is what we like to do. So I'm good there.
All right.
We'll keep it moving. And I'm just going to, like, there are big games. We'll get to them. But I think this is another edition of let's just go through the card and we'll see if there's anything left over. That's all I have at 11 a.m. Do you have anything else in the early kicks?
That's all I have at 11 a.m.
Okay. This is one we need to talk about because I don't know if I have the balls to play it.
Okay.
Virginia traveling to Duke. Duke laying 4. Virginia's ranked.
Yeah.
Virginia's having a bit of a dream season. And suddenly they're going on the road after vomiting on themselves as a 4-point dog against a kind of feisty Duke team. Like, Duke's not good. They're not bad. They're kind of good, shitty. Like,
In the context of the ACC, they could pop a team.
Right.
And by the way, Duke's still in it for the ACC. Like, the top of the division right now is all 5-1. Duke's 4-1. So they still have a game in hand to play.
And they're laying 4 at home. And the problem I'm having here is I did this when they played Illinois. I did this in another instance, and Mensa just fucked me. And every time I bet on Duke this year, they have failed me. So I have, like, Duke PTSD where I don't want to fly into the sun on this. But it's Duke -4, right?
Yeah, no, I do like that. Here's what I would say, too. It's one thing to play Illinois, out of conference, weird matchup, game that doesn't happen very often, and it's early in the season when you're relying on a lot of transfers early on. It's middle of November now, against a conference opponent that you have familiarity against. I would fly into this one. In fact, if you go, I'll join you.
All right, I'm in.
If you're the left wing, I'll be the right wing.
The other part of it, too, is, like, what is Virginia? I know Virginia's ranked. They have a good record. But what have they really accomplished this season? You start to look through it. Yeah, they beat up on Coastal. The Florida State win means nothing, and that was a dogfight. Florida State, it turns out, stinks. Stanford's terrible, and you played them on the East Coast. You lost to North Carolina State, who's no good. North Carolina's a nothing. You beat them by 1. Wazoo's a nothing. You played them on the East Coast. You beat them by 2.
Going on the road to Louisville is impressive.
That's the one. But even in November, they've accomplished nothing of value. Yeah. You beat Cal. Great. Cal sucks.
Yeah.
And then lost at home to Wake Forest inexplicably. Like, they're just, to me, I don't think Virginia's all that talented. I think the number next to them is fake. I think you're seeing it in the point spread. I like Duke a lot at home. Let's do it.
Yep. I'll roll with you.
All right,
I'll
rock and roll. We're both taking Duke. Sticking at 230. I also want to go to the Big Ten.
Okay.
How does Iowa get off the mat after what happened at home against Oregon? In brutal weather, home field advantage, Kinnick, you lock Oregon in a box and make them fight you. You damn near beat them. But Oregon comes out to victor late in that game. That throw Dante Moore made at the end, outstanding, just with a one big play. Your gift for the horseshoes and hand grenades of almost beating Oregon is traveling to Los Angeles. Is this not USC laying 6.5?
So it'll be nicer out there. So I have a play that would correlate with that. I like over in this game.
Okay.
Over 48.5. I think that, yeah, USC is going to be able to score. And the thing about Iowa is I know they've got their reputation of ground and pound, punt the football. That's not who they are this year. I know it didn't look great last week, but that's A, Oregon and the defense you're going up against, and B, the shitty condition.
Yeah, it was terrible.
When they go up against good defenses, yeah, they cannot score. But when they go up against mediocre to bad defenses, they'll put up 30-something on you.
Gronowski was so bad last week, though. Like, the quarterback, if they had any semblance of competent quarterback play, they beat Oregon.
Probably.
And now you, like, the problem I have with the over in Iowa scoring a bunch of points is getting up off the mat of that emotional spot at home where you could have, really, you could have put yourself in play to win the Big Ten. And now it's like, ugh, we got to go on the road to USC. And USC still has some to play for. They are trying to get an at-large bid.
Yeah. Listen, it's a low number, too, for college sake, 48.5. With an offense like this that USC has, they could get you 35. And can I squeeze 14 out of Iowa? Can I squeeze 14 from them?
I think we're seeing it the same way, and we're just coming to different conclusions, and I think that's fine. I'll take my USC side. You can take your over. We're good to go.
Hope we both win.
SEC 230, big game.
Huge game.
Oklahoma travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Bama's a 6-point favorite. You'd have to help me out. What's the total in the game currently?
45.5.
I do want to just take a minute and talk about this before I tell you where my head's at with it. Because there's two, there's a couple issues. One being Bama's run defense. I don't know how you fix it. Oklahoma's a run-happy attack. I think it's like the one real weakness that Bama has. And it long-term could be a playoff concern. Like if Bama draws Notre Dame in a first-round playoff game, I would be a little concerned. They're going to need that bye week. Oklahoma has the ability to do it. The problem is Bama's defense, Oklahoma's defense. This feels like an auto-under a little bit. But I actually landed someplace else, and it's really got nothing to do with what, more than one, I respect the shit out of the team, and two, you're at home, and you're going up like as a non-public side. The public money on Oklahoma is insane, but the bet differential is even crazier, where something like 30% of the bets is making up almost 80% of the money on the Bama side. I'm going with the Bama laying 6.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm a favorite fucker this week. Mm-hmm. call me Square Shay. I don't care. I'm laying 6 points with Alabama.
Yeah, I love Bama this week, too. It's just the way they've played this year. When there's big games and it's like, oh, here's the tipping point for Alabama. Here's where the wheels come off. Nope, 37-20 right on Tennessee's head, right? Go out and beat Georgia as an underdog on the road. Like, these big games, and let's not forget, this is sneaky, a little bit of a revenge spot from what happened last year, where Oklahoma had no business going out and beating Alabama, and they eliminated Bama from the playoff.
Yep.
Kalen DeBoer knows he needs to get these games back because he lost a lot of goodwill with the fan base week one losing to Florida State, but he has sneaky stacked up really good ranked wins this year.
Yeah.
Beat Tennessee, beat Georgia on the road. This could be another one.
They survived the gauntlet of their schedule so impressively.
Mm-hmm.
4 straight weeks in conference, they played ranked teams. They won all 4 games.
Yeah.
And, like, am I a little afraid to be laying 6 because Bama hasn't won those games necessarily convincingly, with the exception of maybe Tennessee, where you got a kind of lucky 99-yard pick 6? But
I would say the Mizzou game, I know they pushed on the spread of 3, but they were in complete control of that football game.
100%. You're right about the way they've played, too. Like, remember the Florida State loss, and the reaction was, this team's not physical. Mm-hmm. This team's slow. This team doesn't play with any level of intensity. They've changed that narrative through the course of the season, where now you have a quarterback. Like, if I asked you, or if I told you, rather, looking at all the quarterbacks that we expected to be in this draft class, Ty Simpson feels the most NFL viable. Does that feel wrong?
I would say either him or Dante Moore, yeah.
Like, I don't think it's Fernando Mendoza.
No.
And Fernando Mendoza might be your Heisman winner, but not to geek out on him or the Heisman race. The throws often are late. The processing feels a little late. I don't think there's a ton of arm strength there. Ty Simpson, you watch him and he looks like an NFL player.
Yeah.
And I think Bama, their team has come together a little bit. Defensively, they've played much better. I don't know how Oklahoma scores a whole lot here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think this is going to be one of those games that's like, we may see the inverse of what we saw last year. It may be 24-3 Bama wins this time.
Yeah, I'm not expecting, again, I would lean under at 45.5, but I'm not expecting a ton of points. I think Bama's going to play game control and kind of dog walk Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We're on the same side here.
All right, I'm going to offer you the last side I have, and then we can kind of rapid fire through the rest of the stuff if you have anything else. This is the lone dog that I want to play, and you can tell me if I'm getting too cute.
Okay.
It's in the Big 12. Utah traveling to Waco. Utah's a 7.5-point favorite on the road at Baylor. Utah's a heavily public side here. Wrong side of 7 if you're trying to lay it with the Utes, and you have to get the hook on a touchdown. And I just kind of felt like you come off the mountain, you lose your elevation of playing at altitude, you're in a warm weather place in Texas. Baylor at home is kind of a different animal. I know they're not good this year, but good shitty a little bit. I like the 7.5 at home.
Okay. Just looking at this, I haven't done like a deep dive on this game at all, but just on the surface, that seems right.
Isn't this the Dave Aranda saves his job spot?
Yeah, save his job stretch, really. I mean, that's what he's got to do now the rest of the way if he wants to stick around another year in Waco.
And, like, look, there's a chance I lose this bet. Baylor gets popped, and Dave Aranda's fired on Monday morning. That could absolutely happen. Mm-hmm. I feel like taking Utah 7.5 on the road, it's a little much.
Yeah, and like Baylor's got an experienced quarterback with Sawyer Robertson, a guy who's just, he can sling the ball around the yard. So going up against Utah's defense, it's a challenge, but I wouldn't say I'm concerned by it because you've got a quarterback who's kind of a seen everything, can do everything type of guy.
Yeah, it's also just, I think the line is telling me something. You've got, Utah's been such a wagon lately. Like, they're another team that's kind of corrected the path of their season. They're not beating teams. They're fucking stomping people. Mm-hmm. With the exception of BYU, 42-10 against Arizona State, 53-7 against Colorado. Last week, 45-14 at home against a ranked Cincinnati. Yeah. But it's, again, that's a big emotional season-saving, season-defining win for Utah. 45-14 over Cincy. Like a statement victory in conference that kind of saved what happened against BYU. Now you get up and leave the mountaintop to go to Waco. It's just not an environment that I want to be taking 7.5 and laying it. I really like the Baylor side. I'm just going to bet it.
All right. I'm looking at it too, like 59.5 on a Utah total. When's the last time we've seen that?
That's the other thing, too.
Holy hell.
Now, again, Utah's been scoring points in bunches lately, and a bit of it is Kyle Whittingham finally has some quarterback consistency.
Yeah.
Devin Dampier's been nice. Mm-hmm. It's a little – he's been hurt, too, so it kind of is Cam Rising 2.0, but not to the extent of you're putting Cam Rising on a milk carton, like the College Game Day signs. Somebody find my quarterback. We haven't hit that level.
No.
But if Dampier's healthy, Utah can score points in bunches. It's just, are they going to survive a shootout on the road and cover a big number? I don't know.
Yeah. No, this could be one of those like 33-30 games, and we feel good about it.
I hope. So Baylor plus 7.5. And then the rest of my shit, dusting off your book and going to the totals market.
All right.
Stick in the night slate in the SEC. Florida at Ole Miss.
Okay.
Sneaky big game. This is like the trap spot of trap spots if you're Ole Miss. Lane needing
Lane
just
maybe house hunting a little bit.
Sidebar. Florida's hiring Jed Fish, right?
What brings you to that?
The way Washington played last weekend. Oh. Just disgusting play from them. And it feels like, tell me, like the display that they put on, just tell me you're looking for a house in a new market. Like, Florida came available, and Jed Fish is like, I'm out of here.
If you're a Florida fan, though, is Jed Fish like the, wow, like, we hit this one out of the park higher, though?
No, but who is it? Lane? And I don't know that Lane is the guy that's leaving the job that he's at. I mean, I told you, when Saban comes out and says, why are these jobs better than the one he has? That's Lane's best friend saying it.
Yeah. The whole not having an extension of some sort is the thing that has my antenna up right now.
The other side of this is the way Florida played last week. Yeah. You didn't just lose to Kentucky.
Yeah.
you got fucking punked to Kentucky. DJ Lagway got benched. It's a Kentucky team that they're looking for reasons to fire Mark Stoops. And you lose by 30?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Florida can score in a morgue right now, which leads me to the play. I like the under 53.5. Ole Miss, defensively, they can clamp you down a little bit, get out to a big lead. 14.5 is the spread. I don't want to be laying 14.5 because I think there's a world Ole Miss wins this game something in the range of 28-14, and I don't want to be a part of losing by a hook. But I do think this is like Ole Miss takes control, gets out big, and shuts it down. Mm-hmm. Let's just get out of here healthy. We're at home. Yeah. They can't score. I like the under 53.5.
Okay. I've been a fan of what Ole Miss has done defensively this year. I think it's been, you always think offense when you think of Ole Miss and Lane, but defensively they have been tremendous this year. So I like that.
I'll give you the other play I have, which is just grotesque,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get to the game of the week.
Okay.
Penn State, Michigan State.
Yep.
Over 48.5.
Okay. I have a play in this game. I like your stupid team.
I know you do. Because of the backdoor magic they keep pulling off.
Well, and then Penn State, how do you, like, you talked about it with Iowa. Penn State, how do you peel yourself off the mat after that?
I know. I saw it. Penn State's laying 7.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have is, like, Michigan State should be getting 20 points against whoever they're playing. And I know, like, Jonathan, they'll be down. they're going to be down 28-17 and have like an incredible, impeccable touchdown scoring drive at the end of the game that means nothing.
Drive of the year.
Just to cover the 7 points.
Yep.
Because all Jonathan Smith does, and then he's like, I just want to make money for the alumni. Dude, go fuck yourself. We all can't stand you. We want you gone. Like, I've been burned. I thought about taking the Penn State side, and the reason I didn't is because I've been burned so many times going against my stupid school. So I just had the thought, like, two elite running backs, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. Mm-hmm. Penn State clearly can score on good defenses. They did a week ago. Yeah. Michigan State's a soft-ass defense. They'll give it up. And they're always capable of scoring late in games on let's just cover the number drives. I landed over 48.5.
Okay. We'll hopefully both come out victorious on this one. How about a little shootout in East Lansing this week, huh?
Yeah, nobody's going to watch. That's why I saved it for the end and just a quick little... nobody is watching this shit. What channel is this even on? CBS?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
What else are they going to put on?
Dude, this is what I'm talking about with this sport. The SEC on CBS theme music is going to be playing over a duel between 3 and 6 Big Ten teams.
I will say this. Initially, my initial feeling was, yeah, what else are they going to put on? But then I see that USC Iowa's on BTN.
That's atrocious.
That's terrible.
That's a ranked matchup. USC Iowa, 2:30 on Big Ten Network, so that Penn State, Michigan State can get CBS.
And a brand, no less, too, with USC. Like, even preseason, you'd think CBS would want the USC-Iowa game.
Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson should fucking riot. They should quit their jobs. Like, that's... If I were Nessler, I would say, you are sending me to Los Angeles, or I am quitting my job.
Yeah. Or that'll be all.
East Lansing in November... 2-3-6 teams on CBS.
Meanwhile, the Coliseum gets the BTN cameras. Unbelievable.
Dude, that what a waste of that beautiful SEC on CBS theme going to this shit.
Unbelievable.
I'm stunned that's on CBS. Holy mercy. Okay, we go to the late night, 6:30. It's the game of the week. It's Texas at Georgia. Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite. The total, 49.5 in the game. You can take the lead here. I do have a play. I hope we're somewhat correlated at least. Okay. Where are you at with this?
I'm going with Texas and the 6.5. I think they've got a great chance to outright win this game. The way that their defense is playing right now, Arch Manning continues to look better and better and better each week. He's never going to live up to what the preseason expectation was, but he's certainly a hell of a lot closer to it than he was week one when we saw that dumpster fire against Ohio State. I think he's starting to see things a little bit, and he's done it against some solid defenses, too. I really like the way this Texas team is playing right now. Sark knows, backs up against the wall, need it for a playoff. Georgia, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if they lose. Not to say that they're going to be taking their foot off the gas at all here, but I just think that this Texas team is playing like the preseason number one team in the country right now.
We are correlated. And it's a lot of what you said. Texas's defense, they are playing at that level of why they were ranked number one to start the year. It had a lot to do with the hype around Arch Manning, but it really was because their defensive line is so good. Their defense on the whole is outstanding. Georgia, when they've played good defenses, it's been at times a struggle. Like it's a little reminiscent of watching Oregon, where you go, how is it so difficult for you to get to 20 points?
Yeah.
That's what it's felt like when I watched Georgia play against any defense that's worth a shit. When they played against Auburn, they really struggled to get into 20. When they played against Bama, they settled on 21. They went for it on a couple fourth downs I thought were questionable. It's been more of a chore to
even
score
Florida
points.
Too. And like Florida's got a good defense.
Yep. And last week, Mississippi State, they smoked them, obviously, 41-21. I think it's a little bit of fool's gold if you look at that and go, oh, Georgia's still Georgia. And I'm not saying that they aren't. Georgia's very good.
Yeah.
But I don't think this game hits the point of 48.5 points. I'm going under because I get everything I want in this game. I get Texas's defense. I get Georgia's defense. I get to fade Gunnar Stockton in a big spot against a great defense a little bit. I get to fade Kirby Smart's fourth down decision making comprehensively this season. Mm-hmm. I just don't see a world where this is hitting 50.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. This feels like I don't want to say it's going to be like a 20-17 because that feels a little low there, but like maybe a 24-20.
Does it not feel a little bit like Ohio State, Texas to start the year? Not that it'll be a 17-7 like grudge match, but it does. It's two defensive-minded teams.
If this is 10-7 at half, is anyone shocked? I don't think so.
Also, importantly, it's two coaches who will gag a big spot. Sark loves nothing more than a terrible play call in the red zone, and Kirby loves nothing more than an incomprehensible fourth down decision.
Yeah. I will say, like, Kirby at least has the rings to say, like,
well, of course,
gagging in a big spot. I'm not going to put that reputation on him.
It's also not me saying, like, these coaches are no good. These are both excellent coaches. You start to wear the reputation of big spot questions when you're good enough to earn it. It's the way we talked about James Franklin for years. If he hadn't been good enough to be in the conversation, he wouldn't have been a meme. Like, Kirby has won huge games. Sark has won huge games. But it's also enough times... In big spots, I've watched Kirby gag it a little bit on a fourth down call. Like, I don't know, you're down three against Bama and you opt to not kick a chip shot field goal to tie the game?
Yeah.
That was silly. Sark, how many red zone goal line fades have we seen that have done nothing? Shout out A.D. Mitchell in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It just, red zone play calling for Sark has always been a problem. He gets a little cute in big spots. And Kirby, I think, will make the wrong fourth. Tennessee, he kicked the field goal when he should have gone for it 100 times.
Yeah.
And then Bama goes for it when he should have kicked the field goal. So I get to fade everything I don't like about both these teams and just take an under.
Yeah. I like it.
All right.
Good stuff.
All right. That does it for me. What else you got?
All right. Friday night.
Ooh.
ACC clash. Louisville. Clemson. Louisville, a 3-point favorite. Louisville's the only team with anything to play for.
If you can talk me into this, I looked at it for so long. Probably 15 minutes I spent just like trying to dive into this and find a way to play Louisville.
And frankly, you can fish around and find some 2.5s, too.
Doesn't the number scare you a little bit?
Not really, just because it's like the Clemson brand of it. I don't know where Clemson's at mentally right now. They've played in some very like head-scratching games. The last couple of weeks.
Louisville coming off a horrific loss to Cal, too.
Yeah, and like these games mean a shit ton now to Louisville. Like, they have a chance to get to the playoff. And frankly, of all of like the cluster of ACC teams right now, to me, it's Louisville and Georgia Tech that are the ones that stand out among the rest of the pack here. And I think you're getting Louisville who they're coming off the bad loss. Your ranking doesn't look all too flowery right now with 20. But I do think they're probably one of the 15 best teams in the country. The way that they've played offensively, I'm a big Jeff Brohm guy. Jeff Brohm, I mean, this is a game where, I mean, you could bump Clemson to 4-6. If you bump Clemson to 4-6, then the conversation picks up about Dabo, and maybe Jeff Brohm slides his way down to Clemson, South Carolina, too.
I'll tell you, I like it more when I factor in that Louisville's coming off the loss to Cal.
Short 18.5
point favorites. Yeah, you big favorites at home against Cal. You lose outright in kind of a look-ahead spot. Not that they're looking ahead to Clemson all that much. But now this becomes your biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
And it's a Clemson team with nothing to play for. They've gotten nothing out of Klubnik this year. I may join you on this.
All right. That's the way I'm going to go.
Cardinals laying 3. All right. I'm in.
And then last one for you here, we're going to go to the SEC, 645. I love the 645 SEC network kicks. It like tries to isolate itself a little bit.
Yep.
But then in reality, the ABC game doesn't actually kick to like 642 anyway. So you're basically in the same time window as everyone else. Mississippi State and Mizzou.
Cowbell?
You know it. I mean, we all saw what Mizzou did last week with a, third, fourth string quarterback, Matt Zollers, who
terrible.
I think has a little something in his game. I'm not out on Matt Zollers. He's a highly touted prospect, but he's clearly not ready right now. And give him an offseason to just kind of like acclimate himself. He's a true freshman right now. So,
dude,
I think eventually he'll be good, but right now I think Mississippi State can outright win this game.
Do you want added incentive? I'm going to join you. I'm going to end up with 11 bets. I'm going to take Mississippi State here because I just realized there's added incentive on this.
What do we got?
This is their last opportunity to make themselves bowl eligible. They have two games remaining on the season, this game and Ole Miss. You're not winning in the Grove.
Yeah.
You know you're not winning in the Grove.
Yeah.
This is it. You put it all out on the field because if you lose, you're not going to a bowl.
Yeah, and Mississippi State, you got to think about it in the context. Last year, they were trash. One of the worst teams in FBS, especially in the Power Four. This year, if you can get to a bowl, and I know that bowls don't mean what they used to mean, but for progress sake, it means something.
Yep.
And to go in, wipe out a program, and then completely flip it around and get to six wins, I think is meaningful. And also, I think they've got a chance. Mizzou's got a great defense. We know that. But I just think this Mississippi State team, we know what they are offensively. They can be tremendous. And I think it stacks up pretty well against what Mizzou's going to do. And I don't trust this Mizzou offense right now.
I also think, too, the way that they started their season, you're not getting bonus points for beating up on Alcorn State and NIU, but the way that they started their year 4-0, and they were frisky in that Tennessee game. They had chances to win it. They played Texas really tight. Getting a win here and qualifying to be bowl eligible would go a long way towards rescuing the way the season started and all that goodwill.
Yeah,
you go on the road and win at Mizzou. Mizzou's already bowl eligible. They know they're out of the playoff. They know their quarterback died, Bo Prabula. They're starting a true freshman third stringer. Yeah, I'm in on this. More cowbell. Why not?
All right.
Let's have a little fun.
Flat 7-2. I like the number.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up for me. We good?
I'm all good. Yep. That's everything I got.
I don't know how. We sat down before we got on the air and not betting a whole lot. I've ended up with 11 bets. Louisville laying 3. Notre Dame laying 12.5 and the over 55.5. Bama laying 6. USC laying 6.5. Duke laying 4. Over 48.5 Penn State, Michigan State. Baylor plus 7.5 at home. Under 53.5 Florida, Ole Miss. Under 48.5 Texas, Georgia, and Mississippi State plus 7.
All right. I am Louisville as a 2.5 point favorite. I've got over in Pitt and Notre Dame, 55.5 the number there. Bama laying 6. Over 49.5 in Iowa, USC. Duke laying 4 against Virginia. Michigan State getting 7 against Penn State. Texas getting 6 against Georgia. And then the Bulldogs, Mississippi State, getting 7 against Mizzou.
All right, that'll do it for the college edition. We'll be back tomorrow with an NFL edition of Pick Aside. I'm going to piss everybody off tomorrow, little tease. But one of my favorite plays is not going to make people happy. So we'll get to that tomorrow on the NFL slate. Got to finish the deep dive. I love this NFL board.
I've just perused it so far. I haven't done the deep dive yet, but I've kind of liked what I've seen so far.
Just as a teaser, I'm going to have a lot of plays tomorrow.
Okay.
Like 6 or 7 NFL bets. I love the board tomorrow. So we'll get to that. That'll be available again wherever you get your podcasts. And as always on YouTube, youtube.com/@pickasideESPN. For Tyler Aki, I'm Shane Orling. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.